The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, Dr. Ray. I love your show.
Let me show you what it looks like to be a holy person, and maybe you'll want to be holy like me.
You just patted yourself on the back.
You seem like an honest guy.
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
I think you have a way of making people feel relaxed.
She needs to feel the consequences of being a jerk.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
Obviously, I'm a failure. Obviously, I'm inept.
Yes. You are awesome. Keep up the good fight, my friend.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Well, I'm going to, it's a trilogy. I want to put out a trilogy. Several new books coming out. Humility for Fun and Profit. Advanced Humility. Those of you who really, really want to get into being humble. And then my autobiography, My Life of Meekness. Yeah, those are the three coming out. Probably in paperback. Not real sure yet. Good to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Program number 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal. That is the number to get on to the program if you wish to call in. If you have something you'd like to ask or say, this is not all queries. This can be statements too. You can help somebody else out. You can make a comment, and if we judge it worthy, which pretty much 98.26% of all comments are judged worthy. We have a very open and tolerant view. Then it will be on the air. I'm a psychologist. That's what I do for a living. That's my profession. Been at it for quite some time now. Don't want to say how long, but Sigmund Freud was a freshman when I was a senior. Number, again, 877-57 equal. I'm not going to do professional psychology stuff here. No diagnosis, no therapy. Certainly not going to step into the turf if you're seeing a professional yourself or someone you know is. But do what we can to give you some ideas, something you can use, something helpful. Maybe a little life suggestion, and also to educate. Sometimes people will call in because something that totally perplexes them about psychology, emotions, a particular diagnosis, development, stuff along those lines. What happens if your kids just get a whole lot of stuff at Christmas? A whole lot. Coming in from every direction. Grandma driving the Toys R Us truck up off, drops a load. Says she'll be back. These 18-wheelers just can't hold what they used to hold anymore, you know. You got aunts and uncles. Everybody. Your kid is just so cute. Your kid is 4 years old. Your kid is 7 years old. Just, oh, everybody loves this child. And they want to show that love because, well, it's just such a beautiful little one. You look at it and you think, it's starting to get excessive here. What do I do about all this? You don't want to, on Christmas Eve, say, I don't want that. I don't want that at all. Can't do that. You create a scene. It gets ugly. Okay. Know what you're going to do with it. Are you going to deliver it to the local children's hospital, the volunteers? My oldest son had multiple operations in the hospital, and we found out very quickly that a lot of the kids there, especially over the holidays, have absolutely no one coming to see them other than the staff. That's it. That's all they got. So, can you deliver up to the volunteers to distribute to the kids? And how much? What percentage of it are you going to do? Will you go over past toys and goodies and trinkets and stuff? Gather some of it up so you know more's coming in. A new load of stuff is going to roll in. Get rid of some of the older stuff. Do that. What about stuff that's unopened. Can you save it for later? Maybe have it opened later? Or we did some years, we just put a few aside anyway just to bring in unopened for the kids at Children's Hospital. If you think it's too much, do something about it. There's nothing that says you have to accept everything that comes in. But Dr. A, those people mean well. Well, of course they do. But the problem is, everybody who means well is now 10 people who mean well. And your kid is starting to look at Christmas as just an excessive time to get and have and do and absorb. Is it his birthday? Boy, that would be a rip, isn't it? Be born on the 24th. Oh, man, you just cut your load in half. Now, if you have older kids, like my daughter once did, she was 6 or 7, and she said to my mother-in-law, "You might as well not get me a baby doll, Grandma. Mom and Dad will just give it away." Yeah, she was gonna narc on us. There's no question about that. We didn't really care. We didn't really care. The folks, after several years, found out that, we don't let everything that comes in stay. We just don't. It's way too much. But the kids, wouldn't they be upset? Wouldn't they cry? Wouldn't it be awful? I think it just kind of became part of what we did. And they kind of knew that's the way it was going to be, and we just did it as a matter of fact. We didn't justify it. We didn't go on and say, "Look, there are so many children who have nothing, and you need to share." I mean, we did give that as a rationale, but we didn't dwell on it. It was just sort of a given. This is going to happen. Is that cruel? Somebody asked me once, "Well, don't you think, I mean, it's the child's gift. Is it yours to give away? Is the gift was given to the child?" I always say to people, "Well, what if somebody gave your kid an absolutely vile video game? Would you say, 'I really don't want him to have it, but it is a gift, it's his'?" You wouldn't. You'd protect him from it. Well, you want to protect your kid from this excessive acquisitiveness? Go ahead. You're allowed. You decide what's good for your kid's character and what isn't. If excess is not good for your kid's character, in your opinion, you have every right to do something about it. Will the kids go along? I think if you start it young, it just becomes a bit of a habit. Will one child be more upset than the others? Yeah, sure. You could put upset all along a continuum. And you'll get some that think it's the most wonderful thing, and I'm just so excited about being able to give my gifts to the kids at Children's Hospital. And then you got another one who's standing guard over his gift with a slingshot, daring you to come and try to get it. That's the way they're wired. You still got to teach them. So, if you think it's too much, you have every right as a parent to quietly, after Christmas, make your trip to wherever. It doesn't have to be Children's Hospital. It can be to some appropriate inpatient setting, something. Have the kids go. Have them deliver it. Some of you have big families. 6, 7, 8 kids. So you multiply all the stuff that comes in by 6, 7, or 8. That's a lot of stuff. Sometimes you can just move it on out because you just don't want it cluttering up your house. For heaven's sake. I think it's a great lesson to teach the kids. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. I'm Dr. Ray.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
Don't let everyone else get all the great advice. Call now to speak with Dr. Ray.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. The Catholic faith has enemies. We're Catholics. We have enemies. They are a danger to the faith. And yet we're called to defend the faith, to instruct the ignorant, and to love our enemies. These enemies abuse divine revelation, they abuse science and religion, they abuse our history and our past, they abuse power and wealth. We have to learn how to deal with our enemies by picking up a copy of my book, Dangers to the Faith. You can find it online at AveMariaRadio.net. Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Your Christmas will bless those who give and those who receive. But what about those in need? With Cross Catholic Outreach's Christmas catalog, your family can provide milk for hungry babies and a well to supply safe, clean water. Your family can also give the Box of Joy Outreach filled with toys, clothing, a rosary, and a gospel message. Learn more ways to bless the poor by visiting crosscatholic.org/Christmas. That's crosscatholic.org/Christmas.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Dr. Ray Guarendi, the dogmatic whisperer. Good to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Got a lot of questions up there. I'll give you the number once again, and then I'll go to the folks. 877-573-7825. Before I let it slip away, I want to thank the folks at St. John the Evangelist in Little Canada, Minnesota. Yeah, that's right. If that conjures up cold, you're absolutely right. It was. When I walked out of the airport at Little Canada, it was 12 degrees. But they were warm and welcoming there at the presentation. So thank you all so much, Joe, for setting it up, and Father. Christine wrote me an e-person. And I said, Christine, got some questions here. And she said, all right, I will call the show, Dr. A, which puts Christine about 1 out of 10. I'd say at least, maybe more, 1 out of 15 of folks who email me with the question, and I ask them to call the program so I can ask some questions, and they don't. But Christine did. That's why I put her up first. Hi, Christine.
Hello.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you for taking my call.
Well, I got your backdrop. I was reading your email again, and the bottom line is this. Your husband is on the terrible outs with his sister. You don't really want to shut her off, but he expects you to, and you're nervous about what it'll do to your marriage if you try to be nice and connecting with her, right?
Yes, basically.
What is beyond the basically? There's more.
Well, I guess a couple of years ago, I did try to kind of reconcile with her, at least to be on good terms with our kids, the cousins, being able to be have a relationship. But then my husband kind of noticed that was happening and thought it was weird that I was sending them gifts or anything. He didn't want our daughter to have anything to do with her, thinks she's crazy. So then I just kind of stopped responding to her, and then I feel uncomfortable if I see her in public, and then I avoid her, and then I hear her talking about me, I guess, through other people. So,
why do you avoid her out in public? Is your husband with you and you'll think that that'll cause problems?
I guess it's probably just my own being kind of cowardice and uncomfortable, so I don't know what to do, so I avoid it.
How bitter is your husband towards his sister?
It just doesn't get discussed a lot, other than just he thinks, if it's brought up, he says he doesn't want anything to, he doesn't want a relationship with her, and he thinks she's crazy.
So he wants no contact. It's not a matter of, I don't want a relationship. I don't want anything to do with her. Get her out of my life. That's where he's at.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that puts you in a position of really not being able to have a relationship with her. Is there some way you could meet with her, sit down and explain to her your situation? Say, I don't want to get in the middle between you and my husband, but I'm in a situation now where, because you both are estranged from each other, he expects me to do that too. So I want you to know I will pray for you. I'll pray for the kids. But please don't take it personally that I don't have much contact with you either. You just explained it to her, right?
Yeah, I've thought about doing something like that, but I wasn't sure if I should even mention where my husband's at to her.
Well, doesn't she know that?
No.
Wait a minute. I mean, how many years has it been since he's had contact with her?
Probably about 3.5.
You don't think that she would be oblivious, do you? That she'd think, oh, well, I just haven't heard from him. He must be pretty busy.
No.
Okay. So she knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay. Then all you're saying... Now, somebody might say, well, Dr. Ray, wait a minute. Christina's going to go behind her husband's back.
Right.
You're not really going behind his back to establish a relationship. You're going behind his back to explain to her the situation you're in. And that at this point, it would cause a lot of problems in your marriage if, in fact, you would try to have any kind of relationship or contact with her. You will tell her that I'll do what I can over time to get my husband to let go of some of these resentments or whatever it is that he's built up. I'll do what I can. I'll definitely pray for you. I'll pray for the kids. And I'll explain to my daughter what's gone on as best I can so that she doesn't think that you, as the Christian, are saying, yeah, get out of my life too. You know, he thinks you're a jerk. I think you're a jerk. No, you're not going to do that. I, if it were me, I would probably feel some push to explain to her that where I'm at is not because of her. Where I'm at is because of, it would create great friction in my marriage if I went behind his back to have a relationship with you. That's what I'd do.
Yeah. Okay.
Good luck. Good luck there, my dear. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. All right.
Bye.
Bye. You ever notice that? I want you to be angry at the same people I'm angry at. I want you to shun the same people that I shun. And if you don't, well, I'll just take that as you're not on my side. You're not my ally. I'll just take it personally. You ever know that people put you in that position? If I don't like that person, well, then, you know, if I'm going to relate to you closely, I would expect you wouldn't like them either. Why do you like them? Isn't that something? There are folks, I'm sure, you don't relate well to. And other people that you know, perhaps in your closest family, do relate well to them. It happens all the time. It's the way it is. But yet, this is one of those cases. This is an extreme case. For whatever the reason, we don't know, the husband has all kinds of hard feelings towards his sister. And he expects his wife and his daughter, even if they don't have the same root for those hard feelings, to, in essence, pull up alongside of him and share the hard feelings. That's just the way it is. And if you don't, then I'm going to be very upset. Don't do that to anybody, folks. Please don't do that to anybody. Alice from Portland, Oregon. Her husband is an atheist and thinks that because she's a believer, she is just close-minded. Open your mind, Alice. Just simply say, hey, I'll entertain the idea that perhaps God exists, perhaps he doesn't. Hi, Alice.
Or any other religion is equal. You know, that's,
they're all
that's
the same.
I'm pretty close-minded not to think that, too.
Quit fighting with him. You know that, don't you?
It's so hard when he says something that's not true.
Well, rather than disputing him, because I'm sure if you try to dispute him, that'll just be more evidence than his mind. You don't know what you're talking about. That's kind of how he sees it. So what I would say is, when he says something that's not true, I may say something like, how did you come to that conclusion? Where'd you get that information? Why do you think that? In other words, get him to explain himself. I mean, he considers himself a hardcore rationalist, I'm sure. So therefore, he sees himself as very logical. He's logical. He's reasonable. You're not. You're just blind faith. That's all you are. I would, if I were in your situation, I think I would really educate myself on the reasoning, the evidence, the logic behind your beliefs. You can't relate to your husband from a perspective of, well, I just believe it because it just is so wonderful and I was raised that way and I just feel it and I can't believe you don't feel it. And he looks at you like, what? I think if you educate yourself, there's so many good books out there regarding the evidence behind Jesus being God, regarding the reasons behind what the Catholic Church teaches. There's tons of them.
Okay.
Go get them and read. And so when he throws stuff at you, you don't have to directly challenge him. You just look at him and say, how'd you come to that? My experience, Alice. Go ahead.
He believes crap Netflix documentaries more than he believes Thomas Aquinas. It's like,
You know what it is? My experience has been with those who are inveterate unbelievers. So very much of their arguments are not reasonable. They're not rational. It is because he doesn't want to believe. He doesn't like the implications. It means he could have to live morally different than he's living. It means that he could have to submit to an authority higher than himself. I mean, all kinds of things. I've not found inveterate atheists to be very reasonable people, because they don't even entertain the idea that there could be a God. If you say to them, well, you say I have no proof for a God. Do you have proof for no God? We're both in the same boat there, according to your reasoning. So how do you know you're right? Don't.
He can't prove it.
Yeah, he can't prove it. And I think there's more at work. There almost always is.
Yeah.
I would do this, though. When you practice your faith, practice it very quietly when he's not around, because you'll probably just make him madder and madder and madder that you have this religious draw, you feel pulled. And he hears you on the phone talking to your church friends, and it just rips him up one side and down the other. And you leave him in the morning to go to Mass when you could sit there and have coffee with him. So you got to watch that stuff, because otherwise what happens is he just views you as, well, not only do I think your beliefs stink, but they're interfering in our marriage too. So love the Lord as much as you can, but watch your profile about it in front of him. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number to call to get onto the program. Good to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray.
more women right now are on the phone to talk to me than I ever had sit with me at lunch in college. If you total it up,
all the years I was in college, you know, where you went down to the cafeteria and you sat and you tried to sit with the really cool people, and me, I was kind of over there reading psychology books, you know. 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal. Cindy is calling from Bismarck, North Dakota. The relationship between prayer and God's will. Those are two very broad topics. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Dr. A. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Okay. Flesh this out for me. What's the conundrum here, Cindy?
Mm-hmm. I was just wondering if you could explain the difference between God's will, why pray, or praying for openness to God's will. Is there a difference?
Are you asking that God's will, it's the old question is, can we change God's will by prayer? I mean, if he has the way he wants to do it, why pray, right? That's an age-old question.
Yes.
Very simple answer to that, because he said so. Obviously, he is open to our prayer because he told us to do that. Now, part of the problem is, and it says in Scripture, you know, well, you pray, but you don't get what you want because you pray for the wrong thing. So I guess there's some mysterious relationship between what God knows is good for us and what we pray for. A lot of times I'll say, Dear Lord, I don't know. I don't know what would be the thing here. I have no idea. Can you show it to me? Can you help me out? Can you nudge me? Can you somehow let me sense it? And then a lot of times I just act because I don't know. Now, here's something my wife said, Cindy, and I've always hung on this. She said, you know, I know what God's will is for me because he's told me through his church and through the Scripture. So when I pray for his will, a lot of times, if I just go by what is morally good and right, then I'm within his will. If I start getting into, well, dear Lord, do you want me to take that job or that job over there? Would you want me to buy this house or that house over there? I think that's kind of shaky turf for me. Because I almost feel like God would say, I gave you a brain, make good decisions, and then I'll help you with whatever decision you make. You know? So I guess my prayers are usually, Dear Lord, I don't know what your will is in this case. Help me out with it, because I'm afraid I could go the wrong way. But then in the end, a lot of times, Cindy, I just have to act, and I don't have a sense of what God wants me to do. In day-to-day living, anyway. Morally, yeah, you do. It's not up for negotiation here. You know, well, you know, does God want me to leave my wife and kids? You know, maybe I'll pray and find out if he wants me to do that. Well, that's pretty clear he doesn't. You know, so if I'm praying for God's will, you know, I don't know. I know this priest needs help, and he's financially struggling, and I don't know, does God want me to give him money or not? That seems to be pretty clear on that one. So I guess I just, my prayer a lot of times is ignorance. I don't know. And if there's a way to let me know, help me know it, Lord, and help me walk within what you want. I'm sure he knows what's best, and I always pray that he kind of helps me know what's best. You know, I started on this radio show. I didn't want to be on the radio, Cindy. When they approached me, I said no.
I had other things I was doing. I was very busy professionally. I didn't have time to be tied to a microphone. Well, then what happened was I tried it out. And at the end of a certain period of time, I realized whether I wanted to or not, it sure seemed like that's what I should be doing. So in a way, you could say he showed me his will for me over time, but I didn't know it when I started out. I had no idea.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Bless you, Cindy. Now, is it God's will that
you
buy me a Christmas present? I mean, you might want to ask him about that. You know, I will pray that God shows you his will for the kind of present you're going to get me. You know? Yeah. Nothing big, nothing big. It could be even a used car. It could be used. So not nothing, anything over 3-4 years old, but along those lines. Thanks, Cindy. I'll talk to you there.
Thanks.
Bye. Okay. Oh, let's see what you got here. Francis has a 22-year-old daughter in college. And Francis is, we're supporting her. And then she says, wait a minute. My daughter is taking our largesse, but she is not taking our guidance. Hi, Francis.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
Well, daughter living away in college somewhere?
Well, both of our older children, we have four, and both of our older children are going to the same college. One's a senior and one's a freshman. And the freshman is finished with his exams yesterday, and the senior is not until Wednesday. But she has decided, and she's the one with the car, that she's going to stay with her boyfriend's family where she was invited for a couple of days before she comes home, which is causing her brother to have to stay on campus an extra almost week. Well, about 3 days.
And what would you like with that?
Well, so I truly, I've read many, my husband and I both just admire you and read your books, and I was really hoping to play on her maturity and say, you know, what if the tables were turned, would you want this to happen to you? If, you know, and none of that is working. And so we always tend to have to resort to the financial leverage, which I hate doing.
Why? Whoa, Francis, stop. Why do you hate doing that? Do you owe her a college education? Do you owe her a college education?
No, and we assist with it. She's got multiple scholarships, so we do a very little bit, and we helped her a very little bit with her car. But so she is kind of self-sufficient. She does depend on us for a few things. But I would just rather her do it on her, you know, because it's the right thing to do, and it's because she thought through it, and she's still maturity-wise isn't there yet.
Francis, stay right there. Stay right there. She did think through it, and she doesn't agree with you. Stay there. This is Dr. Ray. I'll be back. Dr. Ray Guarendi, thanks for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Good to have you with me. I was just responding to somebody who sent me something on an email. I'm talking to Francis. 22-year-old daughter's in college. Mom says we help her out a little bit, but she does the majority of it. However, she wants to spend a couple days at her boyfriend's house before she comes home for the holidays. That is potentially a problem for Francis, but then there is another factor, which is her freshman sibling is also at the same college and would have to stay there another couple of days
while Francis's daughter goes and stays with her boyfriend's family. Francis has attempted to reason with her daughter, having her look at this through unselfish lenses, but to no avail. Still there, Francis?
Yep, I'm here.
What would happen if you told your daughter, no, you can't do that, you need to come home?
Well, she would come home, I'm sure. She's obedient that way. It's just that it would be begrudgingly, and our whole, you know, Christmas would be like, we're making her do stuff. And she's 22 years old, and I just wish that she would think things through a little bit and agree with us that what she's doing is selfish.
You're really asking a much... You're asking a much more difficult question. How do I make my daughter think right? That's what you're asking.
Yes,
good luck. Because the bottom line is, you're probably going to have to do this against her will, because you don't want her going to her boyfriend's house for a couple days anyway. You have no idea what kind of supervision those parents have over there. None. They may just leave. What do they care? That, you know, hey, this is great. This nice 22-year-old girl's here with our son. Hey, we're going out tonight. We'll be back around midnight. Bye, kids. Okay, that's one. And two, you're looking out for the well-being of your freshman, which is he, she shouldn't have to do that simply because the sister wants to. Now, you say, yeah, but look, see what we're doing. We're forcing her. And then she's going to be surly over Christmas. I'll tell you what, where I would be with that. You do what you want, but this is where I would be. If she comes home with a mood because she didn't get what she wanted, well, first of all, there's going to be some problems here financially. That's going to happen. I am not going to support you. Pay for your own phone now and leave the car here. Car stays
here. She already does all that. Yeah. There's only very limited things we can take away anymore.
Well, it's not a matter of taking away. First of all, she can't support herself. If you say to her, okay, if you want to do this, you're on your own. You are totally on your own. You put yourself through school, you pay your tuition, you pay all your expenses, you pay your room and board, everything. If that's what she wants to do.
Okay.
But I don't think you'll do that, because most parents won't. They're nervous about doing that.
Oh, yeah, we've done that before. We did that before her sophomore year in college. So, yeah, we've done that. That's why I didn't really have to do it again.
Wait a minute. Francis.
There's a backstory.
Yes, there is a backstory. It sounds like there's a bit of a pattern here. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
What you really asked was, how do we make her agree with us? You don't. She doesn't agree with you.
Okay.
That's it.
She doesn't. Okay.
And if you have a right with the finances, sure. But even if she says, I pay for everything, you don't pay for anything, she's going to find out what it's like to pay for everything. Because when I talk to parents in your situation, and I ask them about what little bit they are supporting, very quickly it kind of turns into, it's not so much a little bit. There's a lot more support financially going on than the child.
Yeah, you're right.
I thought so. I know.
Yeah, you're right. And my husband agrees with you completely and wants to pull the plug, you know, today. And I'm like, So I guess that's what we're going
to
do.
Well, I'm not telling you to do that. I can't tell you to do that. That's your decision. But if you have every right to say you're coming home. And don't be a pouty face about it, because I'll tell you what, I'm not going to give gifts to somebody that's acting this way. Why would you?
Right.
All righty, dear.
Right. That makes it hard. I appreciate it. Thank you, Dr. Ray.
Send the gifts to me. You know?
I'll do that.
All right. Thanks. I'll talk to you.
May not want a scrunchie.
Okay. No, I don't want a scrunchie, but, you know, if you got to, like, make an iTunes gift card or something, I'll take that. Take that. All right.
I'll take it
see you.
I'll take it in consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, dear. Oh boy, good ones. I guess a couple of spoiled situations. Ever notice it? I've always wrestled with when parents or grandparents say, this kid's spoiled. This kid is entitled. But they're still nervous about, quote unquote, not doing the material stuff. We'll talk about that in a second a couple of minutes when we get back.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
Historian Tom Holland says Christian influence remains so pervasive and institutionalized in the Western world that people don't even realize it. They're like fish that don't recognize they're immersed in water. We'll discuss his book, Dominion, and the enduring influence of Christianity and Christian ideas.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. Do you know why Dutch children expect St. Nicholas to arrive by a Spanish boat? In 1087, sailors brought my physical remains from Myra in Asia Minor to my new home, St. Nicholas Basilica in Bari, Italy. Later on, Alphonsus V of Aragon placed the city of Bari under the Spanish Kingdom of Naples. From then on, Bari was under Spanish authority well into the 18th century. As a result, Dutch children came to expect St. Nicholas, or Sinterklaas as they call me, to travel from what was once considered part of the Spanish kingdom, namely Bari, Italy. And that's why to this very day, just a few weeks before my feast day of December the 6th, with great fanfare, I still make my annual arrival to Amsterdam by Spanish boat. But no matter where I am, no matter how I travel, I'm filled with the joy of Christmas. For Christ is born, glorify him.
You know, as excited as I get of all the ladies who want to talk to me, I realize there are millions of them out there who are not listening to this program. That'll bring me back down to earth. Good to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. This is The Doctor Is In. Doris from Wisconsin has a number of questions that are very relatively easily answered. Hi, Doris.
Hello, and happy Advent to you.
Thank you, dear. You are listening in Wisconsin. Can you tell me how? How are you getting the program?
Oh, through the EWTN app, which I very much enjoy.
Well, thanks. So your son is divorced and is living with a girl. There's no annulment at this point.
No.
So you're saying when he brings her to your house, how do you treat her?
And they live 1,000 miles away, so it was we visited this last summer, and it was a total surprise to us when we found out that she was living there. She is also from our city, and they met up out there where they live. So we have limited contact with our grandson, who was adopted as a 6-year-old out of foster care, and he had already been in foster care for 3 years. So now...
That's the same child. That's your son's child.
No. Well, he is by adoption. By adoption.
Okay, so your son, who's coming to visit you with the girl that he lives with, also has an adopted son.
She has daughters, but does not live with them. They're old enough to be on their own, or I think with her ex.
All right.
Well, are you afraid that if you treat her nice and kind and pleasantly that you'll be approving of your daughter's or your son's circumstances?
Well, kind of. And when we visited them, I kind of felt like I should keep my distance. I was,
why?
You know, not,
why?
I was not nasty or anything. I was just cool.
Why?
Well, because, yeah, I don't approve of their, you know,
Doris,
adulterous situation.
If I was cool, and meaning emotionally cool, I'm not cool at all, yeah, the other way. If I were cool to all the people in my life who are living in immoral circumstances, I would be one of the most unpleasant Christians they would know. Problem is, your son has decided to make these choices, and he's abandoned the way he was raised, and he's abandoned the beliefs you tried to give him.
No, not entirely, because he still goes to church and receives communion.
Well, then he's abandoned him even further. Okay? So, you, by saying, look, I'm going to welcome her, I'm going to be nice to her, I'm going to be kind to her, I'm not going to show her that her boyfriend's mother is this kind of distant, aloof, maybe holier-than-thou person. You don't want to do that.
Right.
You don't. And if you're thinking, well, gee, you know, my son's think this is all just okay with us, this is all just fine and dandy. No, he knows. You raised him.
Oh, he
knows.
Definitely, yeah.
Well, of course he knows.
And we told him so. We told him so in person.
Well, then you've made your case, and I think you need to treat her as you would treat anybody that you should treat with Christian love and charity.
Got it. So now the effect, I'm afraid of the effect on our grandson. He's already got a lot to deal with.
What effect? That the fact they're living together?
Yes, and the hypocrisy of him, you know, being raised Catholic, but not seeing it lived out in his home.
Can you do anything about that?
Well, that's what I'm asking for suggestions also. We've been encouraging as far as we can as,
sure,
little contact as we have, and, you know, my husband made rosaries for them.
And that's beautiful stuff, but you have to accept your limits. You have to accept your limits.
Right.
You have limits. He's 1,000 miles away. He's living with somebody. He's got a kid that he adopted. You hope and pray that he makes it all right somehow, but in the meantime, until he does, you need to be, well, you don't need to be anything, but it would be wise to be charitable to
right.
them and to show your grandson, whenever you see him, a side of the faith that you have, whether that's through your gifts that you give him, like children's Bible for Christmas or a crucifix for his bedroom or something that Grandma and Grandpa can give him to just maybe link him up a little bit. Okay? And the idea that your son is living with this girl and going to communion kind of tells you he just doesn't agree with a lot of what the Catholic Church says. He just doesn't. It's kind of like, yeah, he kind of wants to do what he wants to do because he's quote-unquote a person, and that's the way it is.
Yep.
And if you, I'll tell you, if you are aloof and distant to this girl, you'll probably have less influence over your son and your grandson, because he'll probably pull back too.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Nowadays, unfortunately, sadly, a majority of people under 35 are living together rather than being married. That is the cultural norm. So parents like you and parents like me and that are listening to this program, we're all in that position. We're all in that situation. We got grown kids living together. That is the way it is. And we're forced to... Go ahead.
One fortunate thing is, at least, they are not going to be all staying with us. And
you have every right to do that.
Grandson over.
Yes, you have every right to do that. You say, hey, you know, you guys can't stay here together in the same bedroom.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they've made plans to do that already.
Okay. Good enough.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
I'll talk to you. You're welcome.
God bless. Merry Christmas.
Thanks. You too, dear. Nancy, real quick, I know I'm shortchanging you because you got yourself about 40 seconds, but here's what I understand. You have three teenagers, very disrespectful, very uncooperative and unmanageable, and you got them a whole bunch of Christmas presents, right, Nance?
Yeah, but I'm thinking about returning because they came and destroyed my house Saturday night, and I wasn't even here. And
wow.
My daughter's 17. She drives, and they threw blueberries everywhere. They went in my bedroom and opened up the doors and destroyed my house, Dr. Ray. Some people say kill them with kindness.
That's huge. Are they living with you?
Yeah. No, they live with their dad, but my daughter picked up my son from somewhere, and then my son's friend Cam came over, and all three of them were in my house, and I came home, and they didn't know I was showing up, and I found them.
Wow.
With blueberries all over my carpet, and it was just total, and they laugh about it. And then
call back, Nancy. I have a ton of questions I would ask. This is Dr. Ray. I got to run. Walk with God. Hold your children tightly by the hand.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.